In today's installment of our podcast series, we will discuss human trafficking in the context of COVID-19. I would like to introduce Jessa Dillo Crisp, the co-founder and executive director of Bridge Hope, an anti-trafficking nonprofit within the Denver metro area. Jessa was recently appointed by the governor of Colorado onto the Colorado Human Trafficking Council and is a member of the Global Alliance's Human Trafficking Task Force. As a survivor leader, her efforts share the stark realities of trafficking and the truth that healing transformation is possible. Jessa, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
As the executive director of Bridge Hope, can you please explain what the impact of COVID-19 has been on your programming and trainings?
Yeah, so at Bridge Hope, we bridge resources and we foster hope to survivors of human trafficking through many different ways, including trainings, and then also two direct mentorship experiences and relationships with survivors. And so some of the ways that COVID has impacted our programming and trainings is, first and foremost, we can't meet in person, which is super difficult and challenging. So we've transitioned more to an online platform. We're doing a lot of webinars. We're doing a lot of podcasts to get our information out there about different ways that trafficking impacts different populations, and then also to ways that individuals can go ahead and respond. But then also to looking at the ways that trafficking is impacting our clients. I'd say that this is very multifaceted. So you have clients who are immunocompromised, and this creates challenges that other people don't necessarily think about. So for instance, if a person who is immunocompromised, is not able to go out and work, well, then that means that they will struggle to pay rent, which that means that they'll also struggle to go ahead and even go to the grocery store to get food, let alone meeting with a mentor. So the ways that we are working around that is we are really providing for the specific needs of each individual person that we work with. So that very much looks like ongoing conversations, whether that is through video chat or through the telephone or through letters, very much, or email, whatever way that the survivors feel like they want to communicate or feel safe to them to communicate. And then we also go ahead and just engage with them and help them define, okay, like what do you need right now? And that can be really difficult for survivors. And yet, if it's food, then let's go ahead and get food delivered. And so we've been really providing a lot of those basic needs, where in the past this looked more like going out and really focusing on building a relationship, and through that relationship helping to do coping skills and other necessary things that a person needs to be able to cope and be able to live fully and have a job and go through the therapeutic process. And so that is how our initiative had to adapt to go ahead and meet the needs of our clients.
Thank you for explaining some of those adaptations. That's very helpful. Mm-hmm. Recent reports from the UN and other organizations have identified the increased concern in regard to trafficking, and particularly grooming of children. This is largely because the amount of time children and youth are spending online with school and social activities, and the lack of physical connection with trusted adults and community members. I was hoping you could describe some of the other key concerns in regard to trafficking.
Yeah, so some of the other key concerns that we are seeing and that are definitely on our radar include also too just being at home with adults that might be taking advantage. The adults also have a lot of free time on their hands now, and without going out into the community, going to work, doing other things that their days have typically looked like in the past, that leaves a lot of time for what we're seeing, a lot of sexual experiences to take place, whether that domestic violence that is being watched or seen, but also to sexual abuse, or children witnessing sexual abuse of other people in their house. And so that's definitely a key concern that we have. We know that vulnerabilities create a place where exploitation can become a reality. And so we see that as something that needs to be addressed. Also too, some of our other key concerns are the lack of relationship that these kids are having with trusted adults, and adults who can go ahead and see abuses, see and hear and listen to be able to go ahead and make reports that are needed. And so even though the, at least in Colorado, even though the reports are going down for child abuse, we are seeing an increase at our ERs of children who are being abused. And so there is a disconnect there. And I really see this as potentially being kind of an issue where parents or other family members could go ahead and start to sell their kids for sex too, which is definitely a concern of ours as well, where there's a lack of income coming into the home, which, as we have seen in other cases where poverty or the need to go ahead and provide for the family can also have an increase of children being sold for sex. So all of that kind of intertwined is all a concern and something that we're trying to fight against as an organization.
And so maybe in along with what your organization can do, as well as others, what actions can be taken to protect children particularly?
Yeah, I really believe that the first and foremost thing that we can do is educate. And I believe that we need to begin to even be wider and broader in our education, educating communities. And now neighbors are going to be the ones who can see things and hear things where other people might have relied on school teachers, might have relied on other adults within that child's life. And so I think we need to continue with our education. We need to continue to have campaigns to increase awareness within neighborhoods. I really believe that each of those things can make a difference. I also think that we need to begin to really have conversation with the children in our lives. They might be talking with other kids online now that they're doing a lot of stuff online, or social activities are looking very different, yet kids are still finding a way to engage in social activities. So how can we go ahead and have conversations that are frank with the children in our lives to go ahead and teach them what it means to go ahead and speak up for other friends that they care about and other people in their lives that they care about that they know are being hurt?
Thank you. I think to close, one thing that we are interested in is if you can talk to us maybe about some other trends in human trafficking, both in children and adults, that the pandemic has exposed where you are in Denver Metro and, yeah, and for your organization.
Totally. So we're seeing trends kind of taking place across the U.S. as being similar. So with adults, we're seeing a lot more labor trafficking. So previously, they were being sexually exploited. Now they're being labor trafficked, so their pimps, their traffickers are asking them to go out and do Grubhub, do other delivery services where they're being exposed to the virus. We're also still seeing trafficking taking place where buyers are meeting with victims, and so that is a huge health concern just as much as it is a concern to the well-being of that person, to the well-being of that victim. We are also seeing a lot more for both adults and children online exploitation, so webcam exploitation taking place. I believe that that's getting a lot worse. And Pornhub has shown that there's been a huge rise in the amount of pornography being viewed, which I really believe that just as those statistics are showing a rise, that also too, the trafficking and exploitation of both adults and children online is also having a huge rise as well, which means that we still as a community, still as a group of professionals, need to continue to fight against the trafficking of men, women, and children.
Jessa, thank you so much for your time and your insight and your continued efforts both or with everywhere where you are working and participating in efforts with Bridge Hope in particular, and then also on the Colorado Human Trafficking Council and our very own task force. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome, my joy.